We're going to be joined right now by Nick Kypreos, Hockey Central analyst and Sportsnet. Hello, Mr. Kypreos.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. You're the start of a long season for you guys.
I can't complain.
No, you had a good summer, right?
Great summer.
You had a great summer.
Oh, no. Like a great, great summer. And thanks to the Blue Jays and, good weather. I've been off since July 2nd. I've got no complaints. I'm raring to go tonight.
Let me ask you this, Nick. Give me a couple of things that Leafs fans should be excited about going into this season.
The ticket prices tonight won't change till the end of the season.
That's one.
Okay. Tick.
You know what? I don't think that there's, in terms of complete, optimism, I don't think that it's there yet until they see more changes.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, should the management team get points for being completely honest? Some people say yes, and others say no, lie. Say that, we're gonna try to make the playoffs this year, or we're striving to be as good as we can, but everything has been so predetermined before training camp that, it doesn't really feel like anybody really stood a chance, including any of the young kids, because management was too busy trying to protect them from an environment that Mike Babcock will be remembered so far, as his tenure as a Leaf coach, as being one of pain.
Mm-hmm. So since we're not going to see the future, Leaf fans are not going to be allowed to see the future because they're going to keep that safely away from the carnage here. How about, will there be anything to be taken, any hope to be taken from the reclamation projects? Kadri, Phaneuf, Jake Gardner, I guess, really?
He's going to play the snot out of Jake Gardner, for sure, and Morgan Rielly. And if they have the ability to win him over, then they have a chance to be part of the solution. So Kadri really is behind the eight ball in terms of time running out here. So, again, he's going to have a great start, possibly to build his stock up, whether it's to remain a Leaf or trade bait. But this isn't the team that they envision building a core group with. And the Leaf fans, in the meantime, will just have to rely on the notion that Lamoriello, Babcock, and Shanahan are here to try to restore something, in the next 5 years, not in the next 18 months.
You mentioned Rielly in there as a bit of a question mark, though, Nick. And he's the one guy, I think, if you're a Leaf fan, in terms of this roster, he's the one guy whose name you'd write down in ink, right, in terms of the future. Does he have to do something in this Babcock era to prove that that's true? Or is he as close to a blue chipper as they have on the NHL roster?
Yeah, for sure. But he's just going to have to continue to get better and take on a more leadership role. And, it's still difficult because he's still very young. But there's a window of opportunity for him to step up in a leadership role, even though he's, 3 years in now, going into his third season. So that progress needs to be seen there. The question is Morgan Rielly, one day you're going to look at him and say he's like a Duncan Keith or Brian Campbell in Florida. And, Brian Campbell's had a great career. He's made a ton of money, but he's not necessarily a guy that you think that you're going to build a championship around. So, Morgan Rielly has to continue to show people that he is a guy that could lead, but he's got to work on his game too. I think he needs to make smarter decisions when he jumps up on the rush. The other thing he needs to do, all great defensemen in the league have to have a dangerous shot from the point. And his shot isn't strong enough to be considered an elite defenseman. you know, just yet. So once he starts establishing a big shot, it'll add to his game. But right now, it's an average shot from the point.
Nick, one of the things last year that, I mean, Stevens talked about this, I've talked about it, other people have talked about it. There was a sense that as a group, it was an unlikable team. I mean, whatever you want to make of Salute Gate or things of that nature, there just seemed to be a real sour. The relationship between the team and its fans seemed to be, when I say the team, I'm talking about the players and the fans, seemed to be really sour. How do you go about changing that if you're Lou Lamoriello, Brendan Shanahan, and Mike Babcock, when, let's face it, you essentially have the same group, you know, bar Phil Kessel. You've got the same group.
That's a big change. I know it's one guy, and everybody says, how much have they really changed? Phil's out of the room, and that's it. But that's a big one. He set the tone in there in terms of your unlikable meter. And he's not an unlikable guy. Mm-hmm. Phil doesn't... You know, he marches to his own drum. He's not very conscientious. And, you know, the tone has changed somewhat with just the one guy out of the room. So, you know, he doesn't have that attention now in Pittsburgh, and I'm sure he feels better about it. That, listen, he's maybe fourth or fifth in the pecking order when the games are over and people are starting to look for Pittsburgh Penguins. Mm-hmm. Right, and in Toronto, that wasn't the case, and I think it was heavy on him. I think the likable meter has a chance of going up with Phil out of the room, and so, that includes Phaneuf. I know Phaneuf can come across sometimes as, you know, ultra serious and harsh, but I think things will get better for Phaneuf now that Phil's out of the room.
But because it's got to be Phaneuf. You can talk about the guy who's going to set the tone now, and I think Phaneuf had to be part of that before. But that if you look at around, there's nobody else, is there? It's going to be Phaneuf's room. It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. The question is, can Mike Babcock get him to understand that less is more, and that he doesn't have to be Mr. Everything? You know, star quarterback on the power play. 28 minutes a night, leading a rush, defending, all of that. I think if the weight of the world can come off his shoulders a little bit from him personally, and forget about the fans, because the fans now understand that, you know, he's a solid player, but he's never going to win a Norris. So once people, especially, you know, Phaneuf himself, realize that, you know, all he's got to do is just go out there and play some solid hockey and not feel like he has to carry everything, things will improve, you know, a lot for him.
What happens in the goaltending, do you think?
Well, he wants one to step up, but no one really did in training camp. And in the first three games, they're both going to see action. So I think it continues where... If no one steps up, you're going to see Bernier play two and possibly Reimer play one. So I don't think that anything changes coming out of training camp. I think he's overall fairly disappointed that no one really truly stepped up. And there's an argument to say that Reimer was better than Bernier, but the gap wasn't big enough for Babcock to have the pressure to change his mind. I think he was quoted as saying, I knew it was going to be Bernier a long time ago, which really doesn't put a lot of stock in a training camp.
Mm-hmm.
But that we all knew that it's still Bernier's net. And, you know, he still wants that long, long-term deal and wants to stay in Toronto. He's going to have to carry the mail here for the majority of the season. But right now, he's also behind the eight ball a little bit.
Look into your crystal ball a little bit, Nick, and it's a week before a trade deadline. What are we going to be talking about with this team?
Well, I think it's Winnick, you know, times five. I think if you take a look at their roster right now and, you know, the parts that they were able to come in, and, you know, I refer to them as those Academy Award seat fillers. I always think about Kramer. You know, waiting for that empty seat
yeah.
while, you know, a star goes to the bathroom. And There's about five or six of those guys on the Leafs this year. So these seat fillers will come in, and if they can do what Winnick did, and that is have a pretty good year and have championship-caliber teams at the trade deadline think that they could come in and add a piece, then you're looking at, you know, the Leafs trying to move pieces for, you know, second, third, fourth round, you know, prospects. You know, so that's what you look at the trade deadline. And I think if there is still a deal to move a Loople, a Kadri, you know, even JVR, who I think is probably as solid as anybody in this roster right now, if there's a significant change, you know, with a top pick or a prospect that they can see in the future, being a Toronto Maple Leaf, then they'll move one of those bigger pieces.